The verse that Dee Dee shared at the end, the one from Ephesians, I believe that was chapter 2. But the point of that verse is what we want to expand on. I want to look a little bit more of that love working in us. Nicodemus is a really good example of that. Nicodemus is a good example of very real, practical, life-changing faith, actually. So join with me, please, as we go through the outlines that are in your bulletins. Looking at the faith that Nicodemus demonstrates to us, it would have been really difficult, I believe, and I'll share this with you too as we begin, that for Nicodemus, it would have been really hard for him to live out his faith. It says in the text that he was part of the ruling council. So if we were to put that in, it says on the back of your bulletins, is we have the full text from John. They mention in verse 1 that he's a ruler of the Jews. Now what that means is that means that he was of a very limited number of people that actually ran the country. So, I mean, for us to really get our minds around who this guy is, you have to think of somebody like the president, or you have to think of somebody, one of the cabinet members, secretary of state, or, somebody who really has that sort of responsibility. And this is who he is. He's part of the Sanhedrin. He's part of the ruling members of Israel. Now, the other part that's interesting that we don't see in this text, and it's not in the outline either, but it's an important element to really understand this conversation and the faith that Nicodemus is, that God is planting in his heart and then growing. Just before this incident, just before this conversation, I mean, with Jesus and Nicodemus, there was a really earth-shaking incident that happened in Jerusalem. Jesus came into Jerusalem, we believe for the first time according to the gospel. So this is the first time that he's shown up there as the Messiah, as the teacher and the rabbi. He comes in and the first thing he does is he goes right to the temple and he cleans out all the money changers and he cleans out all the people selling money, all the animals that are for sale. You see, the Sanhedrin, the rulers of Israel, had set it up so that these guys could sell in one of the courts, and they used that to facilitate worship in the temple. And Jesus comes in, and he throws them all out. So Nicodemus is coming right on the heels of that, and the rest of his Sanhedrin buddies were really upset at this. They locked horns with him when he did that, and they were not happy. They said, "What right do you have to do this? And why are you messing everything up like this?" So they saw him more as a threat. Nicodemus does not come across like that at all. And I would imagine this would be some tension. You know, it would have been difficult, you know, because can you imagine the bureaucracy that they would have had? Can you imagine, you know, the difficulty, the commotion and the, you know, Nicodemus is starting to feel a certain way about Christ, and then it's difficult for him to be able to express that. It's really, really hard, I think. Sometimes it's a little bit frustrating. I was trying to think of an example, so let me just throw this out to you, because sometimes our works are frustrating. And I think one of the things for Nicodemus is he was probably really frustrated. I know we have to go through difficult, frustrating times in our work and probably in our families and other things like that. You know, Nicodemus had questions about his life. He had questions about his work. He had questions about a whole bunch of things. So that's why he's coming to Jesus. And that's really the important thing. We need to come to Jesus. We need to be able to come into his presence and talk to him. Do you ever get frustrated at your work? You guys ever hear of a comic book called Dilbert? Comic strip called Dilbert? Yeah, does that seem to hit home in a certain way? It's still around, you know. It's from 1989. It's a satire on office, white collar worker, engineer, and it's a micromanaged office that bureaucracy just totally rules. And uncommon sense is absolutely uncommon. It doesn't exist, and it's just got some of the ridiculousness. Well, anyway, there was a survey, a contest that was done a number of years ago. And in the contest, the magazine asked people to send in real-life Dilbert examples. And so let me just share a couple of them with you, because these are the sorts of things that can just torque us and really just... Anyway, the winner was this. Here was the winner. It's from Sun Microsystems, actually. As of tomorrow, employees will be able to access the building only by using individual security cards. Pictures for those cards will be taken next Wednesday. Employees will receive their cards in 2 weeks. There was the second one that won was, we know that communication is a problem, but the company is not going to discuss it with the employees. So you can imagine, you know, the frustration. I think, you know, Nicodemus was probably dealing with some really difficult issues. It really actually would have been scary in reality. It's hard for us to understand. But these guys were real serious individuals. But you think about it with us and your life, your work, your family, your daily existence. What do you need to speak to Jesus about? What do you need to talk to him about? We all need to do that. We can't do it on our own. We can't solve everything on our own. And Nicodemus has the wisdom and the insight. Actually, what he's doing is the Lord has planted a work in him and begun to work that work of faith within him, and he is working that faith out. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to work out on a daily basis what he is working in. And the way that we do that is by fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. That's how God wants it to be. That's Nicodemus's example. He's right the centerpiece of faith right as the Gospel of John begins. And he wants us to be able to come to him like that. And you have to begin to see then that God is beginning a work in you, and he has a purpose for you, and he's able to work that purpose. How many people have daffodils planted? Probably a number of people, right? I mean, we do. And they're going across the street. Now, daffodils, it's cold. What's interesting about this is daffodils will manage to grow even though it's cold, right? They were not meant to die in the cold. They were meant to flower in the spring. There's a greater purpose for them involved. And for us in dealing with the issues and trials that we have to see that God has a greater purpose for us and focus in on that so that we can flower and we can shine as God has intended us to do. If we don't draw near to Jesus and gain that insight and wisdom from him, it's not going to happen. And so God calls us into that relationship with him. And actually mentioning daffodils, not to get too far off the point, but you know, if you want them to survive brutally cold weather, you know what they suggest? Soak them with water. And what the plant cells do, the plant cells actually take in the water, and it actually makes them able to survive bitter cold even better. I find the analogy where Jesus says, take in the living water, take in from me, come to God's presence, soak that up, let that strengthen you, and that is going to give you the help that you need. You know, this Nicodemus guy, he's just absolutely amazing. You'll notice in your outlines, he sought the Lord while he may be found. That's what God calls us to do. And Nicodemus came, and this is a key, to be open-minded, have a humble attitude. He came to learn, not to teach. He was a teacher. But he came with an open mind, wanting God to teach him. He gave an amazing commentary in this discussion. He calls Jesus Rabbi. Now, you know, for us, if we put it in our contemporary context, we do not generally call people pastors unless they have a call. If they have a call, they're a pastor, then we give them that title, and that's what they do. Now, Nicodemus has been through rabbinical school. He's a teacher in it. He's one of the leaders of Israel. And nobody can be a rabbi in their culture unless they've been through that rabbinical school and they've been properly trained. He is giving that title to a nobody carpenter. That is amazing humility. He is coming to him and he's submitting himself to Jesus Christ and he's saying, Rabbi, teach me. That's huge. He's willing to be corrected. He's willing to learn. He's willing to open up his mind because he doesn't have all the answers. It's good for us sometimes to talk less, listen more, and to see, you know, that God has so much to teach us. We never get to the point where, you know, we've learned everything. And the more that I depend on God's grace, the more that you and I depend upon God's grace, the better. And we shouldn't be surprised at all if God's way is not our way. You know, you look at the verse that's in your outline. You know, if the wise, so you have a lot of wisdom. You know, you should thank God for that wisdom. You should recognize that it's a gift from God. God's given me that wisdom. And then ask God to help you use that wisdom in the best way possible. It's a wonderful blessing. If you have great strength, if you have great, you know, not only physical strength, but intestinal fortitude, you're strong in many different ways. You know, thank God for that strength. Say, God, it is a blessing from you. Now help me use that in a way that glorifies you. If you have a lot of money, some people have money and they have riches and they have resources. That's great. Thank God for that. But now ask God how I can use that for God's glory. Look at the verse. He leads the humble in doing right. By humbling ourselves to God, God is able to open up to us the way that we can be a greater blessing to the world around us. This is what he wants to do. This is how he's working. It's just, you know, all of this as it happened to Nicodemus, we can see how it transformed him. And in the Gospel of John, he's mentioned three times. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. And we have one of these interesting snapshots of Nicodemus where we see faith developing in him. Later on in chapter 7, they're accusing Jesus of all sorts of things among the Pharisees, and they've decided at that point in the Sanhedrin that they're going to kill him. And they're just, they've decided that they're done, they're finished. And Nicodemus stands up and he quotes scripture to them in defense of Jesus. They don't want to hear scripture. And you can see how at that point Nicodemus' attitude has changed. It's beginning to shape, and it's shaping him as a person that's very different. And one of the things that it does when grace gets in us, it causes us to give. It caused him to give at that time on Jesus' behalf. And then at the end of Jesus' life, it caused him to give again. You know, God is doing this work in us. I don't know, do you find it difficult to believe that God should expect something back from your faith? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. What did he expect back? You and me. He did expect something back. And that's why he did it. He gave his son so that he could get us. And that's just the way God works. God is working in you as an investment that he might receive something back. What are you giving? What has God placed? Where are you? Where are you positioned? How is it that you need God's grace? What personal conversation do you and God need to have to be more productive in the place where he's put you? You know, write that down. Jot that down. Be thinking about that. Because God's already dispensed the grace for that situation. He's already seen the situation you're in. And so we can come to him and we can boldly ask that which he has already lovingly apportioned for us. Nicodemus, at the end of his life, he does the most amazing thing. When Jesus Christ dies on the cross, and I wonder if, from the verse that we heard earlier, I wonder if it begins to make sense to him. And Nicodemus is, in fact, born again. You know, and he's looking at Jesus Christ on the cross, and Jesus had shared a word with him when they had this discussion. He says, when the Son of Man is lifted up. And then he likens it to Moses. And what happened at that time, these snakes were loose in the camp, and it was really just a bad time of judgment for the people of Israel. And so what God did to put the plague off is he had Moses make a snake out of gold and put it on a stick. All the people had to do was just look at the snake. That's all they had to do. They didn't have to do anything. And if you can believe it, there were actually some people who would not look. And they died. And I wonder if Nicodemus at this point is seeing Jesus Christ lifted up. And he's seeing these verses that are shared about his life being given for the life of the world. And, you know, he along with a guy from Joseph of Arimathea, they go out and they buy all of the everything needed, the myrrh, the aloes, the ointment that's needed to embalm the body of Jesus. You know, he did something that was absolutely amazing, which would have been pivotal in the course of Israel. He's a member of the ruling council, and he just defiled himself likely for the Passover. It's in the middle of Passover, and Passover doesn't end until Tuesday. By touching a dead body, especially if it was after 6 p.m. on that evening, it depends on when they finished, he would have been defiled for the whole Passover ceremony. Here's one of the leaders that can't participate. Why? Because he believes in Jesus Christ. And so God is saying, you know, he wants to move through you. He wants to give through you. He wants to work through you in your life. And we have to ask, do I have that submissive spirit? Am I teachable? You know, am I opening up my heart? Am I opening up my life? And just leaving it right there before God and saying, God, speak into this. Help me. I need you. I need you to give me that wisdom and that help. It's such a wonderful open door that God has given to us. It's such a wonderful blessing to our faith. I pray that as you deal with the trials and difficulties of your daily life, that you would stop in the midst of that. You've got to have quiet time. Stop in the midst of that and take time to talk to God about it. If it's your health, if it's your relationships, if it's your money, it doesn't matter what it is. I would encourage you, we need to just stop and we need to say, Lord Jesus, I need your help, I need your wisdom, because I can tell that I don't know how to handle this and I'm worried and stressed about it. And he will. He'll pour into you, as it says in Luke, he will pour in, it will overflow, and it'll be just a great blessing. That's his gift to you in Jesus' name. I pray that he would bless us and keep us and strengthen us in that. Let's pray. Lord God, we take before you right now, for us individually, areas where you need to work. If it's areas of morality, if it's areas of our relationship, if it's our finances, Lord, give in to us that what would come back out of us, Lord, is your blessings and your grace and your encouragement and a changed heart and a changed attitude. Bless us and strengthen us in that, Lord. Thank you for loving us that much, for caring for us that much. In Jesus' name, amen.